Morning, everyone. Nice to learn with you as always. Welcome back to Parsha Explorations. This week, we're going to take a bit of a break from the Parsha since it's just a few days from Pesach. And we'll share a few ideas about the Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach, always a very exciting night. These are just a few ideas that I found resonate with me. I hope they resonate with you too. If you have a Haggadah or a Siddur even with the Haggadah in it, it's always helpful to be able to follow along. But here we go. First thing I want to discuss briefly is the beginning, Kiddush, and the four cups. We know we drink four cups on Seder night, Dalet Kosos, Tichiyah Midrabanan, and we drink the four cups at the beginning, Kadesh, the beginning of the Seder, and at the end of Magid, at the end of benching, and at the end of Hallel, four different cups of wine over the course of the Seder. So each of these cups is significant in its own right, but they each take a different character once we think about them in the context of the Seder. And I wanted to share a thought with you from the Abarbanel about the nature of these four different cups. The Abarbanel says something interesting. He says the first cup is, of course, Kiddush. And in Kiddush, we say, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'am, v'romanu mikol ha'shom, v'kiddushanu v'mitzvosav, v'Hashem chose us from all the nations, and he lifted us up from all the languages, etc. So Abarbanel suggests that these four cups, and this first one specifically, are four different points in Jewish history. The first cup is Asher Bachar Banu Mikolam, Hashem chose us from all the different nations. That refers to the Bechir of Avram Avinu. Hashem chose Avraham, our ancestor, our forefather. And due to his choosing of Avraham, that led to the lifting up of Klal Yisrael, his descendants from all the other nations, and us receiving the Torah. So the first part of the Seder is the beginning of our history, from Avraham Avinu and onward. The second cup, of course, which follows Magid, and is an interesting cup in its own right, in that you didn't need necessarily a cup on Magid, but the Abarbanel suggests that that is a cup which is representative of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second cup is when we become a nation, when we leave Egypt, from that period of history in which we thank the Ribono Sha'olam for taking us out of Egypt, as of course we're celebrating on the night of the Seder. Where it gets interesting is the third cup. What is the purpose of the third cup that we drink right after Hallel? Abarbanel argues that the third cup, in which we say Hallel, something that we don't just say in relation to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we say frequently on all our holidays, that is our thanking Hashem, not specifically for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather for taking care of us throughout exile. That despite being in exile and despite all the different tragedies we've suffered as a people, all the different places we've been, Hashem still maintains our nation, he protects us, he makes sure that we survive each and every exile, and that's the third cup. And then, closely associated with that third cup, of course, the fourth cup, which is at the end of the Seder, the third cup's on Berachas HaMazon, where we thank Hashem for sustaining us and giving us food, even throughout the exile. The fourth cup, immediately following the third cup, is on Hallel, and that is a cup in anticipation of the Geula HaAsida, the final Geula, the final redemption. So Abarbanel argues that each of these four cups that space out our Seder and really set the tone for the entire night, they are a reference to a different point in Jewish history. And part of the point of the Seder is to get to both reflecting on our past and Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to get inspiration and a belief from that in anticipation of the future Geula. Beautiful idea from the Abarbanel on the four cups. Moving on to Ha Lachma Anya. So after Kiddush, we do Orchatz, Karpas. There's things to say about those, but let's get right to Yachatz and then Magid. The first thing that we say in Magid is Ha Lachma Anya or Ki Ha Lachma Anya. Just reading the actual text. Ha Lachma Anya, Diachalu Avasana, Ba'ar de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction, or the poor man's bread that our forefathers in Egypt call Dich Ben Yesev Yechol. Anybody who is poor or bent over in trouble should come and eat. Called Ditzrich, anybody who needs Yesev Yifsach should come and eat the Karban Pesach. And And then, of course, we end Hashata Hacha Lashana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. Now we're here next year in Israel. Hashata Abi Lashah Haba B'nei Chorim. Now we're slaves. Next year we'll be free men. So a very strange introduction on many levels. There's so many questions you can ask about it. It's strange that it's in Aramaic. Firstly, it's also strange, Rav Kook points out, that we do something really counterintuitive, because we're about to ask the four questions, and we sort of already said the answer. The four questions, why is this night different, etc. But we already pointed out, halach ma'ania, this is the bread of affliction. We have pointed out the matzah. We pointed out that we were slaves and the next year we'll be free. Why would we give the answers to the four questions before even asking the four questions? Why would we start talking about this matzah before we even talk about Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's quite strange. So Rav Kook, and in a similar way, the Maase Nisim from the author of Nesiv HaShalom, Rav Yaakov Lorberbaum, both say that this paragraph, Halach Ma'ania, is not primarily about Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt, but rather it is a necessary introduction to enable us to celebrate the Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because, of course, the elephant in the room on Seder night is, what are we really doing here? Here we are, we're still in exile. And Rav Kook says, certainly in the times of the Mishnah and in the Talmud, when many of these paragraphs were written, they were still under the subjugation of foreign nations. Things weren't so great. And they, for many, much of our history, we didn't have a Karban Pesach. And it wasn't so wonderful. So the obvious question then is, why are we really celebrating already? Okay, we left slavery, but we kind of are slaves now, even if we're not literal slaves. We don't have autonomy. We're not independent. We don't have a Karban Pesach anymore. It was nice that we could have the Karban Pesach. Now we don't. Now we're in exile. So what are we really doing celebrating anyway? That is the point. To answer that big question is the goal of Ha Lachma Anya. The point is our forefathers also ate poor man's bread. They were also slaves. And the fascinating line by Rav Kook on the word Anya, by the way, just a parenthetical comment. Why is matzah called Lachma Anya, bread of the poor? Some suggest, as the Gemara gives us three different reasons, that Hu Masik V'Ishto Ofe, that, you know, not a poor person can't afford slaves. And so you add the participation of many people to bake the matzah. Also, you break it up into pieces and you save some for later, like the poor. The Maharal was actually very adamant that it shouldn't be translated as poor man's bread, but rather simple bread. Simple bread as opposed to matzah ashira, which includes other ingredients other than flour and water. Matzah only includes the basics. It's just flour and water. But Cook says something interesting. He says, why is it poor man's bread? It's poor man's bread because it's bread that lacks the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And what, this is bread from the exile. It's not bread that was grown from the grain of Eretz Yisrael, which has various mitzvot associated with it. So this is poor man's bread. And our forefathers ate it in Egypt while they were slaves. But Hashem took them out. And the point of the Seder is to get to the idea, to have the belief and inspiration, that just as Hashem took our forefathers out of Egypt, so too he will take us out. Where in Rav Kook's language, it is the pre-tikva, the seder, the matzah is the fruit that gives us hope, that we can continue to anticipate the salvation and ultimate redemption and geula today. And just adding one more comment to Rav Kook, that's this line called Dichpin Yesei V'Yechol. Anybody who's bent over, who's in need, should come and eat. That's a reference to the matzah. Because matzah you can eat even if you're still hungry. However, called ditzrich yesev yivsach, that doesn't mean somebody who's hungry, because you actually are supposed to eat the Karban Pesach while you're full. Rather, it means anybody who needs to fulfill their obligation of Karban Pesach. What's the point, says Rav Kook, if we fulfill kol dich ben yesev yichol, if when we are hungry we eat the matzah, if in a time of desperation we eat the matzah and we have emunah, so then we'll merit called Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach, and we'll believe. If the point is to get to the point where we believe Hashata Hacha Lishana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, that even though we're here now, we'll be in the land of Israel next year. So the point of Halach Ma'anya is an introduction to why we continue to do the Seder even though we are in exile. On that point, that's partially why Halach Ma'anya is in Aramaic as opposed to in Hebrew, like much of the rest of the Haggadah. Part of the reason some suggest, like the Abba Jaham, is that it's in a language that the Malachim can't understand so that they don't accuse us of not being worthy of redemption. Because the tradition is that Malachim, angels, don't understand Aramaic, but more for our purposes, it's about Bavel. That's the language they spoke in Bavel, and we're sort of imitating those in Bavel. This is the bread of exile. We're in the Gullus Bavel, and yet we still anticipate our final redemption, and therefore we still celebrate the Seder. That is the purpose of Halach Ma'anya. Moving on a little further into the Seder to one of my favorite parts. One of my favorite songs in the Seder, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. I know that's your favorite. It's one of my favorites. I get very excited. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is the part of the Seder in which we, of course, introduce the four sons. Right? So just to read it inside, if you're following along, Baruch HaMakom, blessed is the omnipresent Baruch Hu. Blessed is he. Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. Blessed is he who gave the Torah to his nation Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Kineged arba bonim, dibra Torah. Corresponding to the four children of which the Torah spoke. There's a lot of questions to be asked about this paragraph, Baruch HaMakom. Firstly, it's not 100% clear what the point of it is. Why are we saying Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? Blessed is the omnipresent. Blessed is he. So while the Mefarshim comment that this is a sort of Birchas HaTorah, it's a blessing on Torah learning. We're about to expound the various psukim from the Torah with which we tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We did learn Torah until this point. It's not like this is the first Torah we're learning tonight. We quoted various Mishnayos, Ben Zoma, Masa Bereb Eliezer. It's not the first time we're learning Torah. Why do we have this blessing on the Torah? Now, it's also a bit repetitive. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Blessed is God, blessed is He. Baruch Shenatan Torah L'Amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Why do we keep saying Baruch Hu? Okay, blessed is Hashem. That's how a bracha begins. And furthermore, the name we use at this point and also in various points in the Seder is also quite noteworthy. Baruch HaMakom. Why do we refer to the Ribbono Shalom as Makom? Not just here, but throughout the Seder, right? Kama in Dayenu, which we'll talk about in a bit. Kama malos tovos la Makom Aleinu. Va'achshav kirvanu ha-Makom la'avod avraso. Why do we keep referring to Hashem as Makom? So two brief points here about Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. You'll notice there's four different descriptions of the Ribbono Shalom here. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatzan Torah L'Am Yisrael, Baruch Hu. And the Pri Tzadik, or Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, suggests that these four different references to the Ribbono Shel Olam are Keneged Arba Banim. They correspond to the four children. That's why we say Hashem's name four times for four sons. What are the four sons? The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'eno Yodeh Lishol. So here's where Tzedek says something pretty remarkable and pretty ingenious. We think about the four children, and from a parent's perspective, maybe we're not excited equally about all the four different children, right? To have a Chacham, Givaldik. Everybody wants a Chacham. To have a Rasha, we could live without the Rasha. Even to have a Tam, okay, maybe not the greatest Chacham, but somebody who can get the basic understanding of Torah mitzvos. To have a She'eni Yodeh, again, not necessarily as exciting. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, what we're sort of doing here is blessing Hashem for all of them. Baruch HaMakom, blessed is the Ribbono Shel, that's a reference to the Chacham. The Chacham, the wise man, he can have a relationship with HaMakom, with the Ribbono Shel. He's an intellectual. He can think about God. That's Baruch HaMakom. What about the Rasha? Baruch Hu. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Sort of a more careful reference to God. Baruch Hu, Hashem has his ways. I have a Rasha. Baruch Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael. Blessed is he who gave the Torah to his nation Israel. That's the Tum. The Tum might not be as much of an intellectual as the Chacham. And he's not thinking about the philosophy and all these big ideas about the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he can do the Torah, he can do the mitzvot, he can eat matzah, he can eat maror. Baruch Shenatan Torah La'amo Yisrael. And then the Sheinu Yodei Lishol, Baruch Hu, blessed is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even for the Sheinu Yodei Lishol, I can't necessarily understand why always that's a blessing, but Baruch Hu. So these four references to the Ribbono Shel Olam are four different ways of expressing our thanksgiving to Hashem for the four different children. And as you see, they all essentially point to a bigger idea, which is that even when things are challenging and difficult, and it's hard for us to understand, we still say Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Says the Alexander Rebbe, it's sort of why also at this point we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMakom. When else do we refer to Hashem as HaMakom? Most famously, maybe HaMakom Yenachem Esrem B'toch Sha'ar Eveli Tziyon Yerushalayim. When you comfort a mourner, you refer to God as Makom. Because the mourner sort of have lost their place in the world. They don't understand. They're suffering. They lost somebody close to them. And yet they say HaMakom, Hashem, even if they don't have their own place, Hashem takes them in. They can be in the Ribbono Shalom's place. Hashem is the placeholder of the world. Even if you're even an orphan, a person loses their parents, they still had the Ribbono Shalom. And the Alexander Rebbe suggests here too at the night of the Seder, we're also again a little bit mourning. We don't have a Korban Pesach, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're non-Eretz Yisrael. Still, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is the Makom, blessed is the Omnipresent who has a place for us, even when we're in exile. We don't understand necessarily what his ultimate plan is, but Baruch Hu, we still give him blessing. And it's again that emunah at this point in the Seder, which will propel us forward to having that enthusiasm and ultimate belief in the final redemption. So that's a few thoughts on Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Another interesting insight that really stood out to me this year. Skipping ahead a little bit, we talk about the four different children. And then before we get into the crux of the Seder, the crux of the Haggadah, when we go through Aram Yovidavi and all the different psukim, we introduce that with mitichila, maslo bignus misayim b'shvach. We begin with the detriment, the bad part, and we go to the good part. How do we begin? We begin mitichila from the beginning. Our forefathers were idolatrous. The achshav, and now kervanu Hashem brought us close again. Hamakom, Hashem brought us close. Brought us close to his service. And then we quote Psukim about how in Yeshua, Hashem describes how we were, Yeshua describes that we were all idolatrous and Terach was an idolater and Avi Nachor, etc. There's a bit of a challenge to this first phrase. Again, Mechila, in the beginning, all the way, all those days ago. All of the Avodah Zarah Hayavoseinu, our forefathers served Avodah Zarah. Terach was an Obed Avodah Zarah. Nachor was an Obed Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu, even in the beginning, was an Obed Avodah Zarah. Fine, that was a long, long time ago. The Achshav, Hervanu HaMakom Avodah, and now Hashem brought us close to his service. It wasn't just now. Isn't the whole point of the Seder that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and we're going to stand and he brought us to the Torah and he gave us mitzvos? That happened also thousands of years ago, right? So once we're referencing the history, and that's part of the point of this. So why the Achshav, Kervanu HaMakom Avodaso? Now Hashem brought us close to service. The Acher Kach, Kervanu HaMakom Avodaso. And afterward, oh, a bunch of 100 years later, he brought us Avram, he gave us the Torah. What's the Achshav? So you can already anticipate the answer. The Chiddush says it in a spiritual way, which I will quote, but I think it's also very relevant to the whole point of the Seder. The Chiddush says, even though, of course, the Seder night commemorates a historical event of the exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but every year there is a renewal, a spiritual opportunity on Leil HaSeder. The way the Chida says it is, just as we learn about how the Jews were on the lowest level of Tumah, the lowest level of impurity, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still took them out of Mitzrayim before they sank so low. The Chida says every year, already from a month before Pesach, Hashem strips away a little bit at our impurity at the Tumah, and then finally on the Leil HaSeder, Kirvanu HaMakom HaAvodaso. All the Tumah has been removed, and he brought us close to his service. And so there's a special spiritual opportunity every year on the night of the Seder. And I think the Chida's point about the levels of Tumah aside, the Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom HaAvodaso is really part of the point. Yes, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah thousands of years ago. But also the Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom HaAvodaso. Right now, he's bringing us close to his service. Right now, at the Leil HaSeder, that we have the opportunity to engage with so many mitzvos, as I'll mention in a second. B'Layla HaZeh, Higiyanu HaLayla HaZeh, Maror. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also bringing us close to his service. So the point is, and part of the point of the Seder is that we ought to experience that the Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom HaAvodaso, even though we left Mitzrayim so long ago. But right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing us close to his service. Therefore, even though it's a contrast to Mechila, we don't just highlight that God gave us the Torah and brought us close to service, but he's doing it again right now. That's the Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom LaAvodaso. Back to another one of, I think, everyone's favorite part of the Seder, Dayenu. After we go through the different psukim and the makos, the bris bin habasarim, etc. Again, obviously, we're skipping a bunch of hours here, depending on the speed of your particular Seder and how many grandchildren you have there. So when we're almost at the finish line, we'll get to the finish line in a second, we sing the song Dayenu. Very well-known song, very exciting. The introduction to Dayenu is a bit peculiar if you ever think about it. We say, before we get to the song Elohot Mitzrayim, we say, Kama Ma'alos Tovos La'Makom Aleinu. Kama means how many? How many Ma'alos Tovos? That means either good attributes or good steps. Steps, levels. How many wonderful levels? La makom for, again, makom, for Hashem aleinu, upon us. How many wonderful steps there are for Hashem upon us. That is a quite peculiar introduction. What are we about to do? We're about to say all the wonderful things Hashem said and that each of them independently is a reason to thank him. Should say, Kama chasadim tovim mi makom lanu. How many wonderful chasadim, kindness, acts of kindness did Hashem, from Hashem to us? What's lamakom for Hashem? Aleinu, upon us. And what's ma'alos tovos? Ma'alos means like a step. So two very basic points here. In a very lengthy essay, the Maharal argues that the word ma'alos is very particular. It's not just nice things that Hashem did, but each one is an additional level of growth on our spiritual prowess toward the Ribono Shel Olam. So he took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the first five of them, or 15. The first five, we're leaving slavery. We don't have to suffer anymore. He punished those who oppressed us, etc. And then we had the Nisim in the Yam Suf until we get the Torah. And that's an additional level. Hashem takes us to Malam and Ateva, and he performed miracles throughout our sojourn in the desert, and ultimately we get the Torah, and that's an additional level. We're going even higher. Now we're not just not slaves, but we get the Torah, we have our purpose and identity as a nation, and then further than that, we get even a further kirva, further closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam. He gives us Shabbos, he brings us to our Sinai, he gives us the Beis HaMikdash. So the point is as follows. Each one is an additional step. It's an additional level, an additional madrega. Each of these 15, we go higher and higher and higher until we get to the ultimate point of connection,
Banu lanu was Beis HaBechira, Hashem built us the Beis HaMikdash. And part of the point of this is that Metzias Mitzrayim, significant as it was, is not the end, but rather just the beginning. Leaving Egypt was the beginning of our journey. And we are supposed to get to the point where we are even transcending Metzias Mitzrayim, where we feel that closeness that was the Beis HaMikdash. And the point is that the Seder is a growth experience. And we go mala and mala and mala, one step higher, continuously, until we get to the highest level. And that isn't just for us, but the Kedushas Levi then says something really remarkable. What's kama malos tovos lamakom for Hashem? Says the Kedushas Levi, when we ascend, kivayachol, as it were, that also propels God upward too. Hashem gets a special pleasure when we grow. When we get closer to Him, that gives Him nachas, that spreads His name in the world. And that's part of that, what is supposed to give us inspiration, that what we're doing isn't even just for us. It's to give kavod to Ribono Shalom, it's to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. Each level we grow gives an additional level of nachas, la makom, alenu, for the Ribono Shalom from us. We're giving pleasure to the Ribono Shalom. So that's kama malos tovos la makom alenu. Each level that we achieve, each mala, each madrega, we get even higher, even closer, and that gives even more nachas to the Ribono Shalom. That's ultimately the point of the Seder. It's not just something that we recollect, but it ought to propel us forward. Okay, I want to share one more idea about Magid, and then we'll end with an idea about Chag Gadya. At the very end of Magid, the very end of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we drink the second cup, as I alluded to earlier, we make the bracha of Asher Ge'alanu. Asher Ge'alanu is quite a long bracha. There's a lot to say about it. I want to just make one point. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the world, Asher Ge'alanu, who redeemed us, V'ga'al Asavu Seinu Mitzrayim, and redeemed our forefathers from Egypt. And then it says, "V'higiyanu halayla zeh," and enabled us to reach on this night, lechol bo, to eat matzah umaror, matzah and maror. So the first question is simple. It's interesting. Asher ge'alanu, Hashem redeemed us, v'ga'al avoseinu, and He also redeemed our forefathers. That seems like it's out of order, right? Primarily, Hashem redeemed our forefathers. He took them out of Egypt. And all, and we say, and you know, if we wouldn't have left at that point, we'd still be in Egypt. We're an extension of our forefathers. So why is it that He redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers? And Nesivos points out that various other times in the Seder, we always put our forefathers first. Just the paragraph earlier, when we say Lefikach, when we introduce Hallel, we say we have to thank Lamisha Asa La'avosenu Vilonim, the He who did miracles for our forefathers and for us. V'hisha amda la'avosenu v'lonim. Why here ge'olanu v'ga'al avosenu? Why here are we first? Says Nesivo something pretty, I think, straightforward, but still pretty remarkable. The ge'ula that is referred to at the end of Magid is not simply letting us or allowing us to leave Egypt, taking us out of Mitzrayim. Geula connotes a relationship. It is an eternal bond between Hashem and the Jewish people. That is what Geula really means. Redemption means that we are Hashem's and He is ours, and that relationship is forever. Past, present, and future, Ge'alanu. And so we are emphasizing at this point, Ge'alanu v'ga'al avosenu. Hashem redeemed our forefathers, but He equally redeemed us. That relationship is still vibrant, as it was. And for us, that is the more important part. What's more important to us is that Ge'alanu, that He redeemed us, that we have now, currently, that relationship with the Ribono Sha'olam. And also, v'ga'al avosenu, and even for thousands of years ago, He redeemed our forefathers. So the point is, when we think about the miracles, we're thanking Hashem for Nisim, specifically miracles. So Asalavu Seinu V'lanu, the greatest miracles, the paradigmatic Nis, and Nisim are the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. and also miracles for us. Then it's Lavosenu Velanu. But when we talk about the Geula, our relationship, our redemption, that's Ge'alanu V'Ga'al Es Avosenu. And to add to that point, that's really the what's remarkable about this bracha is how it contains past, present, and future, right? So you think about it. We start off, Ge'alanu V'Ga'al Es Avosenu Mitzrayim. He redeemed us in the past. V'Higi'anu Halayla Hazel Lechol Bado Matzah Maror. And he allowed us to reach at this point the time in which we can eat matzah maror. Parenthetically, the word vihigianu is similar to the bracha of shehachianu vikiyamun vihigianu, and it might be a replacement for shehachianu in the Seder. But the point also is the very fact that we're still sitting there on Seder night and eating matzah and eating maror and celebrating Yitzias Mitzrayim after so many years, that is in and of itself a miracle. So we praise Hashem for redeeming us in the past and allowing us to participate in the Seder in the future. And we then say, Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu yagi'enu l'moadim l'rgolim acherim, that in the future he should allow us to reach other holidays and to celebrate in the Beis HaMikdash. So we anticipate the future as well. And I think the underlying idea of Asher Ge'alanu, that past, present, and future, it's all that same redemption. It's all that same relationship. That we don't see this as three different points. Of course, it's three different points in history, but it's one continuum. Hashem chose us. Hashem redeemed us. He forged an eternal covenant, an eternal bond, and that encompasses past, present, and future. That's the bracha of Asher Ge'alanu. One last idea, very briefly, I will leave you with, which is the last part of our Seder, Chag Gadya. Chag Gadya, one goat, etc. Quite a strange song. It's a bit of a fun song. Sometimes the sort of thing you might hear at, I don't know, a bar or something like that. Chag Gadya, again and again and again, you repeat it. What is the idea behind Chag Gadya?
So very briefly, there are two interpretations that I know of, each describing the history of Klal Yisrael. One interpretation is that each of these different animals, the cat and the dog and the staff, etc., they all represent different kingdoms or monarchs that the Jewish people encountered throughout their history. Israel through the exiles. That's what the Knesset Yecheskel suggests. So he suggests the Shunra, the cat is Nebuchadnezzar, is referred to as a Sone Ra, and the kingdom of Greece is a staff because in Yirmiyahu, Greece is called an Amun staff, and the Nura is actually the Hashmonaim who lit the fire of the menorah, but the Maya is the Roman Empire who put out the fire and mighty waters until in Tzadi Aleph first to Edom. The references are a bit oblique, but the point is that the way that the Knesset Yecheskel looks at this is that each step is a different stage in our history, and ultimately the point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and redeem us. He's going to shech the Yetzer Hara, and that's going to be the final redemption. There's another interpretation from the Eifod Bad, which talks not about our redemption or our physical redemption and our leaving the servitude of different nations, but rather spiritual ruin and repair. So spiritual transformations. This is actually fascinating. The first Chag Gadya is Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon is a perfect goat. He was totally pure, but he sinned, and then there was a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. That's the Trei Zuzeh. And he goes to different points in our history where we suffer different spiritual downfalls, and then salvation. The Nura is the sin of the golden calf made from fire. Then Moshe burns the golden calf, etc., etc. Very interesting, each one. The point, though, is this. As a Jewish people, we've gone through physical redemption and physical servitude. We've gone through spiritual lows and spiritual highs. But at the end of the day, Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya. We're still that one kid. After each point in our history, Chag Gadya, that kid continues to survive. At the end of the day, Hashem still watches over that Chag Gadya. And ultimately, it will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who redeems us after everything that happens to us, both spiritually and physically.
It's and that's how we repeat it again and again. After every single experience, downfall, tragedy, still, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya, the goat, the kid, that pure kid is still there. It's our faith that no matter what happens, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam, that's why we end with Chad Gadya. And I think it's meaningful that it's sort of like a song with that repetitive chorus. Each generation, we could still sing Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. We always return to that refrain. Ribon Sha'olam should enable each of us to have an inspirational and meaningful and redemptive Seder and to experience Asher Ga'alanu, the Ga'alas Avosenu. He redeemed us and also our forefathers, Cain, Yagi'enu, Lemodim, Nergal Macherim. So too he should allow us to reach other holidays and other festive times in the Beis HaMikdash Shum Mehira B'Yameinu. Thank you so much for listening. Wishing you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.